Michel Zilber Shlita. They put out a Haggadah of his last year. It's called Biyam Derech. And he's the one who was really ma'orer me to this idea, which I want to share with you, which I think is the key to the transition from Pesach to Shavuos. And what it means to come back to Yeshiva for 2 weeks before we take our 4 month summer vacation. So he writes by Mar the following, the Biyam Derech by Mar on page 1. Chilaso masuk v'sofo mar hefech aviva sator. What happened in Mitzrayim, and what's happening now on our way to Kabbalah Sator? So the Gemara tells us, when it comes to mar, meviyas machlokas atanayim b'minei hamar. We know the Mishnah says there are 5 different types of mar. They're listed in order, from the most optimal mar to the mar that is also acceptable. And the truth is, there are many other things that could, in theory, be mar. Umaskina, and when the Gemara is discussing what makes something maror, how do you identify something as maror? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, midivrei kulan, from those who spoke in the Gemara right before Rabbi Yochanan, it's clear that what? Nilmad yerek mar yeshlo saraf upanav machsifin. To identify maror, it's a yerek that's mar, a bitter herb, is something that has saraf, that has some type of bitter sap to it, upanav machsifin. Literally, its face undergoes some type of transformation. Whether that means the leaves are somewhat faded, right? But it's something. There's something about its appearance that is maradik. You look at it, and it looks like mar. Uvehamshach haGemara Hashem Isa Shemar Tchilaso Rach V'Sofo Kasha. And maror can also be identified, says the Gemara, as something that's initially soft and becomes more hard, becomes hardened as time goes on. There's a Chassam Sofer. I spent a good portion of Yom Tov looking at the Chassam Sofer Haggadah, and I found a lot of amazing things in there. But I had seen this Chassam Sofer quoted here first. Rav Zilber brings a Chassam Sofer in his Chedushim on Pesachim, where he tells us some of the pnimius of Mar. What's the inner world of Mar? And you're saying, why are we going back to Mar? So let's see. The Chassam Sofer says, Ramazim Niflam Beochos Mar. Maror Begematria Mavis. The Gematria Mar is the same as the gematria of the word mavis, 446. Hu malach mavis. V'nikra chazeres. And the mar is called in the Mishnah chazeres, which alludes to chazir miya'ar. In Tehillim Perek Pei, Pasuk Yud Dalet, it refers to the chazir, which of course alludes to Edom, alludes to Galus, the Galus we find ourselves in today. Esav is the chazir. Miya'ar. Chazir Miyar, the wild pig from the forest. Tchilaso matuk b'shosh mafata la'odim mamtik lo taivas olam hazeh. So the Malach HaMavis, when the Malach HaMavis, Mar, which is Gematria Mavis, what did we say about Mar? It starts off soft, and then it becomes kasha. So too, the Yetzer Hara comes to a person and says to a person, look, I have sweet things for you. He presents you all sorts of taivas olam hazeh. V'sofo mar, but the end is very bitter. Because when you give in to that Yetzer Hara, in the end you know it wasn't worth it. Olam akatrik v'yorid v'not on the Shama. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that the Yetzer Hara is the same as the Satan, is the same as the Malach HaMavis. First he comes to you and he's the Yetzer Hara and he tempts you. Then he's the Satan and he goes and he tells on you. Then he goes back as the Malach HaMavis and he takes your life. So the whole world of Maves, the Malach HaMaves, is a world where he entices us through the same mechanism as the Mar. That Tchilaso Rach V'Sofo Kasha. Tchilaso Matzuk, a beginning it's sweet, and in the end it's very bitter. What did Rabbi Yochanan say is an identification for Mar? Yesh Lo Saraf. Bevadai Nochash Saraf V'Akrav. Says the Chassam Sofer. Saraf alludes to what? Not only the acrid sap that's within the maror, but it alludes to nachash saraf akrav, the dangerous animals that the Jews were protected from when they were traveling in the Inanei HaKavod. But that description of nachash saraf and akrav, of venomous snakes and scorpions, is obviously very threatening. Upanav machsifin. Upanav machsifin. Again, there's some type of appearance that it has that identifies it as mar. Maybe it's the faded leaves that it has. Kamosha Shanino Ezahu Saor Shechsifu Panav. The Mishnah of Pesachim says, how do you identify something that has leaven, that is experiencing the process of leavening, right? Shechzifu panav, that its face changes. Leaven, of course, we know, he says in the footnote, the Seor Shabisa, from the Gemara and Brachos, Dav Yed Zayin, is the Yitzhara. So again, the Yitzhara pretends to be your best friend, and then he becomes your most vicious enemy. That's Mar. Tchilaso Masuk, Vesofo Mar. And therefore, Tzarech Mituk, it needs to be sweetened. Uvalayla, Zeshu Leil Meshumar Min HaMezikin. And on this night, says the Chassam Sofer, on the night of what? Of Pesach, when we're able to engage the Mar. When we're not afraid of the Mar, because it's Leil Shimur, and we feel safe. We don't call it Chazeres, what do we call it? Chasal. Chasal, lettuce. Romaine lettuce. Chasal, says the Chassam Sofer, Dechos Rachmana Alon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has mercy and takes pity upon us. V'lo yitein amashus levo bateichem lingo, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over our homes. Okay, in mitzvah lichroch Pesach matzu mar, sheshlashton begematria karas satan. Pesach plus matzah plus mar is gematria karas satan, which we know is part of the Anabakoach. Right? In Anabakoach, the different lines, at the end of each line, it says the Rashi Tevos of that line. Kabel rinas amcha, sagvenu tarinu nora, is karas satan, is to rip up the satan, to destroy the satan. So therefore, when we're zochet, the Pesach matzah and maror, we're able to what? To be able to fight off, to transform this maror, to allow it to what? To allow it to reverse the process. Again, the natural process of maror, of yitzhara, malcha, maves, maror, begumatria, maves, is that we go from a world of something that's sweet, something that's bitter. On Pesach, we're reversing the process. On Pesach, we're taking the bitter mar and we're sweetening it. Yeah, Rob.
That line
right, to be mamtik the gvuros, which is very much connected to mar. Very good. Okay? Chassam Sofer goes on, he has a lot of Ramazim here, we'll go to the next paragraph. Chassam Sofer says, we know that one of the reasons we dip the maror in charoses is because, again, there's a certain poison to the mar. There's a certain sharpness to the mar that can be dangerous, which the Gemara refers to as kafa, kuf pe aleph. Says the Chassam Sofer, who comes to mevatel the kapa, the kuf pe aleph, the poison, so to speak, within the bitter mar? It's, of course, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov is the one who fights against the Esav, who fights against the Chazir Meya'ar. So therefore, it's Yaakov in Gematria 182, one more than Kappa, 181, which gives us the Kawach again to fight back. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu helps us to be victorious over the Mar to reverse the process. Okay, go to the last paragraph on the page. Nisvar b'chsam sofer, says Rav Zilber, we see from this chsam sofer, many Ramazim, Sha'amar t'chilaso matuk v'sofo mar, merames al yitzahar. She'bitchil mafates ha'adam b'mine mesika, shel ta'anugim al maisa avera. At first, the yitzahar tries to, again, seduce us with all sorts of sweet desires of averos. V'sofo mar, but then he goes, and he speaks against us, and he's no till neshama. V'yesh lahosif al kach. So says Rav Michel Zilber, that's what all of Mitzrayim was. What was Galus Mitzrayim? He quotes the Gemara in Sotu Yud Aleph Amud Beis. Take a look where it's bolded. That the Mitzrayim, the Rishibdu es Yisrael beferach, avolas perach, backbreaking labor. But says Chazal, it was peh rach. Explains Rashi, Mashchum b'dvarim or b'diburim uveschar. They initially sweet talked us. They offered us promises of payment, which they did pay us initially. Acher gilam la'avoda, until the Jews got used to working. To compare it, Rachmana Litzlan, to the entranceway to Auschwitz, right? A false impression that a person can actually gain something here. That we're not here to destroy you and to kill you. Mitzrayim was the same thing. At first you work, it'll be good, you'll help out, we'll even pay you for your services. And then they convinced us to work, not for pay, and then they enslaved us, and then it became mar. The yamar was chayim, it got worse and worse. So all of Mitzrayim is what? All of Mitzrayim is the process of what? Of something that's soft and gentle becoming difficult. Something sweet becoming bitter. He quotes the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Pesachim says, Reb Chiya b'shem Reb Yoshia, last three lines. Kol atzman eina davar tolei ele b'chazeres. Ma chazeres tchilas o masuk v'sof omar, kach osu ha-mitzrim la-vosein ha-mitzrayim. At first, the Mitzrim welcomed us and said, please, b'meitav haaretz, make yourself comfortable. We'll give you a nice Jewish area, Goshen, right? At first, it was very sweet. It was very gentle. And in the end, of course, it was avodah kasha b'chomer and levainim. Okay, turn to page 2. In general, the Yetzer Hara operates this way. He quotes Yerushalmi in Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Avon, Ve'isir Hashem mimcha kol choli. Hashem will remove from you, look at this drush, it's beautiful. Hashem will remove from you all illness. The greatest illness that we all suffer from on a daily basis is the Yetzer Hara. Zei Yetzer Hara. Sherosho matok v'sofo mar. The Yetzer Hara starts off sweet and ends up very bitter. But the Yerushalmi is making a play on words here. Because that word choli, which means sickness, that same shoresh, it also has an implication of something that's sweet. V'hainu da Yerushalmi dorish kol choli, when Hashem promises, I'll remove from you all illness, Hashem says, I'm removing from you all sweetness, the impression of sweetness that the Yetzer Hara has. Kol choli is a lashon of masikus. Deba'aramis choli hu masikus. He quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the footnote. That same shoresh, right, of chola in Hebrew has an implication of what? Something that's sweet in Aramaic. Hashem will remove from you all of the false sweetness of the Yetzer Hara and replace it with something that is truly sweet. This is the process of Yetzer Hara, this is the process of the Malach HaMaves, and this was the entire experience of Klal Yisrael Mitzrayim. What's the opposite? Now I want to transition out of this world of Mar, out of this world of Pesach, to Torah. Because that's what these days are, days of Hachana for Kabbalah Satorah. Torah is just the opposite. Torah is just the opposite. When it comes to developing a kesher with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in Torah, it starts off the most bitter thing in the world, but a person who's willing to work at it will realize it's the sweetest thing in the world. Take a look what he writes in the next paragraph. Mi'idach, ha-Torah shi'atavlin shalayetzahara t'chilasa kasha v'sofa mesuka. When it comes to Torah, it's impossible at the beginning. It's not fun. It's not meaningful. It's not easy. It's not sweet. And then you look at people who've been doing it for a long time and they love it. And you're wondering when you get started, what is this? What are they learning that I'm not learning? And the answer is, it's a process. The same way the Yetzer Hara is just the opposite. It's fun and sweet and easy at the beginning, and at the end it's broken and bitter. The world of Avodas Hashem is just the opposite. Tchilasa kasha, like it says in the Gemara in Brachos, Amar Reish Lakish, Ein divrei Torah miskayim ela v'misha meimis atzmo aleha. A person initially has to be prepared to kill himself over Torah, to give all of his energies for Torah. Zos haTorah adam ki yamas ba'avol, the pasuk says. Amri debei Rabbi Yanai. What does the pasuk mean when it says ki mitzcha lav yotzi chema, that from the liquid of milk comes forth butter? B'mi ata motzi chema shel Torah, who will experience the sweet butter of Torah? B'mi shemeki chalav sheyonik mishtei imo aleh. The person who's willing to want to make himself sick over Torah, to the point that he's literally vomiting up the milk that he drank from his mother as a child. That's how deep the Torah has to get into a person. So you might say, I only started learning when I was 16 years old, 17 years old, 18 years old. It's going to take me a long time to dig all the way back down to the milk that I drank from my mother long ago. But the answer is, if I'm willing to push and push and push, that the Torah should go all the way back down to my shoresh, then I'll taste the butter of Torah, the sweetness of Torah. V'sofa matuka, the end is very sweet. He quotes the Gemara in Pesachim, the Rav Sheshes used to chazer every 30 days, he would chazer al Talmudo, and in the end he made a kinyan on it. Like it says, Torah so, it becomes our Torah. You become the owner of the Torah. Or the Medrash Tanchuma that he quotes here in Parshas Noach. Ha'am ha'ochim b'choshech ro or gadol. The nation that walked in darkness saw a great light. Eilu balei Talmud. In particular, the Medrash Tanchuma says when it comes to studying Gemara, it's so hard at the beginning. Shiro or gadol, a person comes to great light. Shekadosh Baruch Hu meyir einayim be'isser v'heter b'tamei v'tar. Eventually, a person comes to see the light, and the sugya makes sense, and the halacha becomes clear. This is the process of coming to Torah. Now, the truth is, Torah is really sweet from the beginning, and the problem is our own. We shouldn't, chas v'shalom, think that the Torah is in fact actually bitter, and the Torah has to become sweet. The Torah is always sweet. We have to work to get to a point where we can experience that sweetness. He says in the second to last paragraph, a medrash in Shir HaShirim, Ima Hashem en mar mitzchilasu umatuk besofo, yochol af divrei Torah kein. Maybe as shemen initially is bitter, and olive is a little bit bitter, but then the oil that emerges from it doesn't have such a sharp taste. Maybe the same thing is true by Torah, that it starts bitter and becomes sweet. Talmud lomar devash v'chalav, mahem mesukim av divrei Torah mesukim. Says the Medrash, no, Torah is really sweet from the beginning. Mashma sha'af mitchilas on a divrei Torah metukim hein. Yesh lomar, alpi mashma perish Rashi. So why is it that we sometimes experience Torah as bitter at the beginning? Like Rashi says in Parshas Yisro, V'ata, says Rashi, imata tekablu aleichem, if you'll accept it upon yourselves, then yerev lachem mikan ve'eilech shechol ascholos kashos. If you're willing to work hard at the beginning, it will become sweet for you from that point forward. Says of Zilber, the ikar akoshi yirak ba'kabbalah. You know when it's bitter? Until you accept it. But once you make a commitment to Torah, and you decide that I'm willing to work at this, and I'm going to find the sweetness that is inherently there, then a person immediately, ba'arevna, becomes sweet for a person. Concludes the Biyam Derech. V'zohi ikar kavanas achilas hamar. V'chein orm ba'agadam marer zesh ana ochlem al shum ma. Sheyazkor ha'adam. That a person should understand. Sheyazkor ha'adam. Hei chayetzahara piteyu bitchila b'demyonos u'chazavim. Look at the Yitzhar, convinces a person it's going to be so sweet to do the Severa. But in the end, it's all charata, it's all depression, it's all regret and disappointment. And at the same time, as you eat the Maror, especially now as you come to the Amei Sfiras Omer and the count towards Shruas, a person has to remember what? That when it comes to the Kabbalah's Ola Torah, it's just the opposite. Initially, it seems hard to accept upon ourselves, it seems bitter and difficult, but if you're willing to just start drinking from the waters of Torah, it will become very sweet. A couple months ago, I found something from the Rebbe of Kamarna that I've been very excited to share with you. It's exactly this inyan that I just found a couple weeks before Pesach from Rav Zilber. And I've been waiting for the right opportunity to share it with you. It's exactly this yesod. Listen to how the Kamarna Rebbe describes how a Jew comes to sweetness in Torah. It's mamish so beautiful. In the Nesiv Mitzvosecha, in the Nesiv HaTorah, in the first Shvil, he writes in Os Ches on page 3. Uve'emes achai ve'ai, my dear brothers, my dear friends, kama merirus mayim amarim over mitchila. How much bitter water does a person need to drink at the beginning? Sha'atorah mar lo baschal. That when a person begins to learn Torah, the tchila of Torah, Tchilasa is difficult. It's very mar. Machmas ki adayin marim heim ba'atzma. It's not the Torah that's bitter. It's that you, the one who's drinking it, right, is perhaps a little bit bitter. And he says a person has to be willing to fight for it. V'zeu asibah la'avchan mi sheyesh lo nefesh Yisrael. A Jew who's going to fight for Torah is an authentic Jew. Rachmana letzlan, the Jew who tastes the bitterness of Torah and says it's not worth it and walks away. God forbid, he says, that person, their neshama is from the Erev Rav. They don't have a nishmas Yisrael. Chas v'shalom. He says the bottom of the column. Ve'ein sarach lomar shemitchila kishemaschil lavor lakabulav ol Torah shetoy meriras mavis. When you begin to learn Torah, it tastes bitter as death. Ela af tzadik gomer over alav yisurim merum b'chol yom v'chol yisur v'chol shah. And guess what? There are big tzadikim who also go through really dark periods, bitter periods in their Torah study, where Torah tastes bitter. I'll show you an amazing example of it in a minute. But they're suffering. La'amido, top of the left column, la'amido al ora chayim derech tzadikim. That a person is sometimes, a Kodesh Baruch Hu is testing a person to see how much you're willing to fight for my Torah, how much you're willing to believe that my Torah is truly sweet. V'yikav la'atzmo kol ha'mariris. But a person has to be willing to accept upon himself that initial bitterness. V'ashem yisbarach berov rachamav mat'imo minoam olam haba b'olam haza. And then eventually you'll come to taste the sweetness of olam haba in olam haza. When the light bulb finally goes on, when it clicks, when the bitterness finally becomes sweet, and that which is kasha becomes rach, becomes easier. V'ashem yisbarach berov rachamav gives us a taste of this. V'chol eilu marios nefchu lo lematok. And all of that bitterness will become transformed into something sweet. Or la nefesh. He says, ubilvad achi, shesok shesok. Drink and drink. You have to keep drinking. You have to make a commitment to keep drinking. He says, I promise you, it'll happen. And all the bitterness will actually become sweet. But you have to keep drinking. V'kiba alecha kol ba'ava, and to keep drinking ba'ava, va'oz ya'er alecha or p'nei melechai. Then a person will be zochet to see and experience the beautiful, sweet light of Torah. There's a maisa with the Baal Shomer Amunim, Rav Arla. Rav Arla Roth, Zecher Tzad V'Kadosh Levracha, it's quoted in the Sichas Bavodas Hashem, in Sichah Hei. He says here that it's printed in the Shomer Amunim from Rav Arla, but I couldn't find it there. I've never seen it there. I've looked numerous occasions to try to find it there. He says it's in that Sefer, in the Shomer Amunim. Rav Arla tells the following experience that he himself went through. Okay? So you can become a big Rebbe. This is not just for people who grew up maybe the way that some of us grew up. Right? You can be a person who becomes one day a great leader of Chassidim, a great tzaddik, a great Rebbe. And yet, he also underwent this process. Exactly like the Kaman Rebbe said. Tzaddikim also undergo this process. Look what he has. Look what happened to him. Sipur nifla zek kosav rav kadosh rav Arla Roth. Zuchusi again alein. Mashakari tov b'yimein u'rav. Shai lo eizet tekufa shenafel olav nisyonos gedolosh v'cheshkos no ra. He went through a very, very dark and difficult period in his life. He couldn't even pick up a sefer to learn. Every time he picked up a sefer, ki ta'am ta'am maror b'chol dibur shel Torah. Can you imagine? He couldn't learn. Pasha couldn't. Every time he touched the sefer, he was disgusted by it. It was bitter, like death itself. He's very embittered by his difficult situation. And he was totally overcome by this. He felt there was no one to talk to. There was no one I could seek advice from. And he was crying and crying and crying over this. He went to a certain tzaddik's kever. And he cried for a long time. And he decided, I'm going to go home. And I'm going to pick up a sefer. And I'm going to learn. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu either... Listen to what he said. This is his lashon. He says, either HaKadosh Baruch Hu take my life or change my situation because I can't live like this. I can't be. Let me at least learn like a Pashut Yid. Let me at least have the strength to pick up a sefer. Even though I'm not going to experience Olam Haba and Olam Haza, let me at least be able to open a book to learn something. So he writes in the next paragraph, Kacha, so he went home. He reached onto the shelf. He pulled off a gemara at random. He took the rush, Rabbeinu Asher's commentary on Megvos off the shelf. All right, this is it. It's either going to work or it's not going to work. This was it. He said, "This is it. I'm did my last try." Whatever it takes, even if he has to cry himself to death over this, no, like the Gemara, Kapshuta in Brachos. I'm going to finish this no matter what. I'm going to do it. I'm going to finish this Seder Limud. As he writes there, every word of Torah was as bitter as death itself. He said, but I pushed through and I pushed through, and when I finished that learning, all of a sudden I was overcome with this unbelievable joy and this unbelievable sweetness, and I felt myself being transformed. He felt so deeply attached to learning that nothing in the world could distract him or take away from him. A pleasure that can't be described. And it was his fight for Torah that allowed him to come to that sweetness. Many people would have given up long before, but he was willing to fight for it. Says Rav Meislish in the second to last paragraph, the Zekavanas Chazal, Ein divrei Torah miskaimen ela b'mishra memis atzmo alel. This is exactly what the Gemara means. That Torah works for the person who's willing to fight for it. Zosa Torah adam kiyamas ba'oel. So the Mefarshim asks, but doesn't it say in the Torah, v'chai b'hem? V'chai b'hem, v'lo shiyamas b'hem. What's the answer? The answer is, he says, achlefi anizka le'el. It's very clear. Kol aslachas alimud, shiyo adivri Torah miskaimen etzlo, ze'arak ishazeb b'chinas memis atzmo alel. If you want the Torah to last for you, yes, of course, v'chai b'hem. But at first you have to be prepared to what? To sacrifice yourself for Torah. If you want to have that sweetness, you have to be willing initially to kill yourself over Torah. V'ayinu sh'toim bo ta'am misa mamash, to really fight for it, to give everything for it. V'im kol zeh, mis'ametz, v'lomed, v'einu misrapek klal, never to give up. Ki zeh atzinur la'ashvi alav kedushas v'atzlachas ha'Torah b'milua. There's a beautiful story that's told about Rav Aaron Cutler and Rav Huttner. I'll tell it to you outside. I found it over Pesach in the Shemana Tov, Agala Shel Pesach, from Rav Dov Zev Weinberger. He tells a story that one time Rav Aaron was sitting with Rav Huttner at a chasna. And Rav Huttner started to tell Rav Aaron a story about one of the Gedolim who was thinking about making a shidduch with a certain bacher. This bacher had tremendous midos. This bacher was a tremendous masmin, but he wasn't the biggest genius in the world. He wasn't the biggest genius in the world. And this Rosh Yeshiva, this gadol, wanted the biggest genius for his daughter. He was nervous. He said, you know, I want to take a son-in-law who has kishronos, who has, well, whatever, whether that's right or wrong. That was his akbada. And this bacher didn't have such a great mind. He was a masmin. He was a good person, a fine person. But he didn't have a genius of a mind. He wanted the genius for his daughter. And he spoke to one of the other Gedolei Olam, and he convinced him to take this bacher. How did he convince him to take the bacher? He told him that when Chazal say that a person who learns Torah mi'oni, sofo, lilmo Torah mi'osher, like it says in Pirkei Avos, a person who learns Torah when he's poor will be zocha to learn Torah when he's rich. So a certain gadol told this other gadol, it's not only talking about money. It's not only talking about a person who learns Torah when it's financially difficult to learn Torah. It's talking about a person who learns Torah when he knows he's not the greatest genius in the world. A person who learns Torah may only hadas, when a person is mentally poor, when his mind is not so sharp, and yet he learns Torah nonetheless, sofo lilmod me'osha. In the end, he'll become a genius. Not everyone's born a genius, but a person can develop his mind to be a sharp, analytical mind in Torah. And with that, he agreed to make the shidduch. As Rav Huttner was telling the story to Rav Aaron, Chaver, listen to this. As Rav Huttner was telling the story to Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Aaron got out of his seat and he walked out. Rav Huttner was very confused, so he walked after him. He tried to find him. He's looking around the wedding hall. He's looking for Rav Aaron. Finally, he catches Rav Aaron. He finds Rav Aaron, and he's sitting in some side room and he's crying his eyes out. Look on page 6. Rav Aaron's crying. So Rav Huttner goes over to him and says, I don't understand, what are you crying about? Did I say something in that story that insulted you? Kishapana Rav Huttner. The line that begins, Ukishapana Rav Huttner, Vishalu Amau Bocha. What are you crying about, Rav Aaron? Onalo. Kiladavono hu lo yiske laosa shiras shal Torah. Rav Aaron was crying because he said, I'll never be zocha to the wealth of Torah. Why? Kevin Shame Olam lo yada eza anios v'Torah. Rav Aaron says, because I am a genius, and Torah comes very easy to me. And therefore, I'm not going to be zocha, according to what you taught me, that only a person who learns Torah me'oni is zocha to what? To learn a me'osher. I never experienced the anilus of Torah. It was never hard for me, it was never bitter for me at the beginning. And therefore, Rav Aaron understood that there's a certain sweetness and a certain connection to Torah that one can only come to when one suffers over it. No, so most of us probably feel, you walk into the base medrash, I wish I was smarter, I wish I was sharper, I wish I was one of those guys, you know, who could just pick up a Gemara and just finish Masechta after Masechta, right? And yet, what Rav Aaron Cutler is telling us is, if it's hard for you, you're lucky. Because only a person who understands the experience of the anilus of Torah, the bitterness of Torah, the difficulty of Torah, only such a person can come to the sweetness of Torah. And it's a bracha. It's a shtickel bracha to have to fight through those bitter periods in order to come to the sweetness of Torah. Now, since it is the days of Sfiras Omer, I want to give an Eitzah how a person could try to align himself to make it that much easier, that it should become sweet. Because there's something else that we have which is naturally sweet, which sometimes becomes bitter, and we have to try to get it back to sweet. What is that? It's our midos. A Jew is be'etzem good. A Jew is a good person. Unfortunately, sometimes, the Yitzhar gets the better of us, and we fall into bad behaviors, we get into bad habits, we develop bad character traits, and that's the Hashbav Olam Hazanas. But a be'etzem, a Yid is, Nishmas Yisrael is good. So you have to try to get back to it. But the way to get back to it is to know, the same way that Torah, which is initially sweet, although sometimes it's hard to feel that at the beginning, we have to work to get there, it's the same thing with Midos. I was reading over Yontiv, they put out a beautiful volume in English. It's a translation of a Hebrew volume. There was a tzaddik who passed away a couple years ago. His name was Rav Avram Genachovsky. Rav Avram Genachovsky, Rabbi Ganak, by the way, Rabbi Ganak, Rabbi Nachum Ganak from YU and from the OU. First, you know Rabbi Ganak from Englewood. Rabbi Ganak, you know what his real name is? Genachovsky. Ganak became a shortened version of it. You know who Rav Avram Genachovsky was? Rabbi Ganak's uncle. Okay? This was a very, very, very big person in Bnei Brak. A tzaddik who many of us maybe never even heard of, but is someone we should get to know. So they put out a Hebrew volume, beautiful, beautiful hanhagos and stories called Agan HaSahar. Chavi, you should get your hands on this volume, and if you don't want to work to read the Hebrew one, get the English one. It's called Rav Avram. That's the name of the volume. Rav Avram, the life of Rav Avram Genachovsky. It's beautiful. So on page 8 in this book, take a look. In his introduction to the Shir on Maseches Derech Eretz, Rav Avram said that the life of a man with Midos Tovos is sweet, similar to roasted wheat flour. As Rashi says in the Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Nun Hayam Ud Beis, which is flour made of kernels roasted in an oven. Now, what's the chiddush of roasted wheat kernels? Rav Avram asked how that flour became sweet. What happens? Think about it. You take a kernel, you put it in the oven, you roast it, and all of a sudden, it has a totally different flavor. It's very sweet. What happened in the roasting process? You didn't sprinkle sugar on it. You didn't pour honey on it. What happened? So look what he says. It must be that the flour is initially sweet, but the way surrounding it overpowered its sweetness. What are you doing when you put it in the oven? You're burning away all the impurities that cause it to lose its sweetness. So in a sense, what are you doing? You're restoring it to its natural sweetness. So is the man who burns his negative midos and returns to the uprightness he was created with. His life is sweet down below like in paradise, since he reverted to his initial sweet being. And that's why Derech Eretz is Kadma LaTorah. That's why in the days of Sfiras HaOmer, we're trying to metaken the Pagam of Talmidei Rabbi Akiva. Because again, a person who has midos tovos is a return to the essential sweetness that every Jew has. And that's the best way to align yourself with Torah, which is inherently sweet, which will occasionally present itself as bitter, but like the Rebbe of Kwanah said, because we're bitter. Because we're not sweet. So the Torah seems to not be sweet. And therefore, initially, may misatzmala. But the goal is v'chaibah. The goal is that it becomes a very sweet experience and a very beautiful thing. I want to conclude by showing you how this guarantee of Torah becoming sweet is a guarantee, but we don't know how long it's going to take. No one knows. For some people, again, like Rav Aaron Cutler, makes it sound like it didn't take him very long to discover the sweetness of Torah. He was born with certain kishronos. For many of us, it takes a period of time. Rav Aaron LaRoth went through a dark period where he fought until he finally got there. So how long is it going to take us to get there? We don't know for sure. But again, we do know that it's going to happen. And our job is just to what? Our job is just to keep pushing ahead. And I want to show this to you in the writings of Ram Salvechik by Sfiras HaOmer. In the Mipnine Arav, in Rav Shechter's volume on Ram Salvechik, he has about a 20-page kuntras called Kuntras Sfiras HaOmer. And in the Kuntras Sfiras HaOmer in Os Yud Aleph, on page 8 in front of you, he quotes from the Rambam's Mor Nevuchim, in the third Chalik, where the Rambam explains the Indian of Sfiras HaOmer. What's the Indian of Sfiras HaOmer? It's like a person who's looking forward to something, right? So you're counting with excitement towards that thing. And therefore, says the Rambam, when the Jews left Mitzrayim, that was great, but that's not everything. And we want to come to what we really desire, which is the Torah. And therefore, we're counting towards the Torah. So says the Rav, turn to page 9, The Sefer HaChinuch, we know, asks the famous question. The Sefer HaChinuch says, normally when a person is looking forward to something, so we count down the days till that thing arrives. Right? If I'm looking forward to an event that's taking place in 5 days from now, so I don't count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I count 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I count down. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, I think it's Mitzvah Shin Vav. So why do we count up when it comes to Sfiras HaOmer? So the Sefer HaChinuch says, because if we were to count up 49 days is a long time. To count Tisbru Chamishim Yom, to count towards that 50th day of Shavuos, it's a long time. And we might get upset, we might get despondent, we're depressed along the way, it's such a long journey. So therefore, instead of counting down, right, starting with such a big number, 49, we'll start with a small number. We'll start 1, 2, 3, 4, and we'll count up. That's what he says. Says the Chinuch, maybe once you get to the midway point, now we're halfway there, we should switch over and start counting down. So maybe count 1 to 25 and then count backwards. So he says, no, it's not the practice to change over in the middle. It doesn't make sense to switch in the middle. The Rav wanted to connect this to a mashal of the Dumna Magid. He says in the second paragraph on page 9, "V'kesher l'svara sefer achinach lechalik vein chetia arishon lechetia sheni." This idea of achinach says, if not for the fact that it's not commonplace to switch the way you're counting midway, it would make sense to count down once you're getting closer. The Rav says, I want to connect that to a mashal from the Dumna Magid. It's also a malbim in Daniel. What does it say? What's the mashal of the Dumna Magid? Imagine a person who sets out on a road and starts traveling. A businessman, and he's traveling on business, and he decides to take along his little son with him. And his son comes along, and his father says, you know, it's a long trip, you sure you can handle it? Yeah, Dad, I can handle it, no problem. Alright, so the boy climbs in the wagon, they start driving, right? And about 10 minutes into the ride, the son turns to the wagon driver and says, are we almost there? So the father smacks himself in the head and says, I told you, it's a long drive, don't ask questions like that. It's not proper. If you're going to do this, I'm going to have to turn around and take you home. Alright, so they're traveling for a long, long period of time. And as they're getting close to their final destination, the father turns to the wagon driver and says, Nu, are we almost there? How much further? And the wagon driver says, gives him the answer. And the son turns to his father and he says, Dad, when I asked the exact same question, you told me it was inappropriate. Now you asked that question. So his father says to him, obviously, when you asked the question, we were 5 minutes into the journey. So at that point, yeah, it's inappropriate. But as you get close to the final destination, when you're a few moments away from arriving, then it's proper to start cheshbening. When are we going to arrive? To start making plans. Exactly what we're going to do when we arrive. So the Dumna Magid said, that explains why the Gemara in our Masechta, in Sanhedrin, Tzadi Zayin, says you're not allowed to calculate when Mashiach comes. You're not allowed to predict when Mashiach is going to come. Ah, but so many people throughout the generations have predicted when Mashiach is going to come. If the Gemara says you're not allowed to, so why do tzaddikim throughout the generations offer dates of Mashiach? What's the answer? The answer is, because at the beginning of the journey, it's not proper to ask. But as you get closer to the end, as you get closer and closer to Mashiach, it becomes appropriate to start cheshbening. And therefore, the Sefer HaChinuch's idea that the first part of the journey, it's too hard to start counting down. We're going to get depressed. But once you get close, then it makes sense to start counting down like something you're looking forward to. If not for the fact that it doesn't make sense to switch the way you're counting midway. That's what the Rav wanted to add, the mashal of the Dumna Magid, to explain the Chinuch. But then the Rav says the main point that I want to show you. And that's on the left-hand side. Take a look on page Reish Mem Gimel. Uviyishiv kushis achinuch hayanir li'od. Rav Soloveitchik said, I want to give a different explanation. However, look at this. The Ran, at the end of Maseches Pesachim, talks about the nature of Sfiras HaOmer. That the Sfiras HaOmer count was a count towards Kabbalah HaTorah. The Masha Anu Modim Sfiras HaOmer Bizman HaZeh, Hu Zecher LaMasha Manu B'nei Yisrael Mishah Shiyat Mitzrayim Ad Sheigiu L'mayim Ad Har Sinai. The Jews also were counting. From the time they left Mitzrayim, they started counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Why were they counting up, not down? It's the Chinuch's question. Why do we count up, not down? Says the Rav, because we're doing exactly what they did. They were counting up, not down. Says the Rav, why were they counting up and not down? Look what he says. U'memele yesh lomar. Da'af shekvar shamu v'moshe Rabbeinu. She is kayim atan Torah bar Sinai. Even though they knew that there would be something called Kabbalah Satorah, Tavdunas Elokim al Harazeh, Yesh Lomer Shilo Yadu Masai Iskaim Davarzeh. They knew it would happen, but they didn't know when it would happen. They knew they were going to get the Torah. They didn't know. They didn't have a final number to count down. They started counting every day. One day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days. Hoping that any one of these days they're going to come to Kabbalah Satorah. They couldn't count from the top down. 49 days, 48 days. They couldn't count like that. Now the truth is, if you look in the Ran over there, as it says here in parentheses, the Ran actually says the name of the Medrash not like this. This is a bit of a chiddush, the Rav saying. The Medrash says that Moshe told them, in 50 days from now, you're going to come to Kabbalah Satorah. That's actually what the Sfarim say, Ta'avdun is what? Ta'avdun Nun. That in Nun, in 50 days from now, Ta'avdun as Elokim al-Harazeh, in 50 days from now, you're going to come to serve Hashem on this mountain. So according to the Medrash that the Ran actually quotes at the end of Pesachim, they did know. But according to the Rav, they didn't know. It could be they didn't know. And therefore, just like they were counting up to Kabbalah Satorah, says Rav Soloveitchik, we also count up to Kabbalah Satorah. But what do you see from this Rav? You see that when am I going to get to my Kabbalah Satorah? As an individual, when am I going to experience the sweetness that's inherent to Torah? The answer is, we don't know. And therefore, like the Rebbe of Kamarna said, Achi, my dear brother, Shesok u Shesok. Just keep drinking. Just keep drinking. And you'll see in the end, that if Hashem delays it that much longer, when it finally clicks, it'll be that much sweeter. But our job is just to keep working at it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but we know it's going to happen. And that's how it's always been. When Avram Avinu was told, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha, says the Stipler on page 10 of the Birchas Peretz, Rashi, we know, tells us that Avram wasn't told where he's going. Lech Lecha La'artz Sha'areka, go to the land that I will show you. Says Rashi, based on the Medrash, V'lama lo gila lo miyad la'izo aretz yelech. Why didn't Hashem tell Avram where he was going? Rashi gives two answers. K'dei l'chavava be'enav, to make it special to him, more pleasing in his eyes. V'lite lo schar kol psiu psia, and to give him what? To give him schar for every step that he took, not knowing where he's going. Says the Stipler, an explanation of k'dei l'chavava be'enav, umitam arishon, Shamru k'dei l'chava be'enav, l'manu sha'davar mischave ve'etzal adam k'shu mechapes acharav, u'mishtokek elav zman rav, kodem hasagaso. What do we learn from this? Chaver, what do we learn from this? We learn that a person who's searching for something, looking for something, that he knows he's going to get to, but he doesn't know exactly when and how he's going to get there. But he keeps trying. When he does get there, it's that much more enjoyable. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu hid the information from Avram. He said, just go, just keep going. Where am I going? I don't know which direction to walk. Just go. Lech lecha me'artzecha. Al-aretz shareka. I'll tell you when you get there. V'iyu haya ba lo oso davar atzo v'hesech adas uvelo tshuka. Had it come to him more easily, then it wouldn't have been as pleasing in his eyes. V'lamadnu mikan le'inyan limud Torah. Says the Stipler, it's the exact same thing when it comes to Torah. The first thing that Avram ever did for Hashem, lech lecha me'artzecha. Every time a Jew walks into the Beis Medrash, and he doesn't know, is it going to go well? Is it going to be bitter? Is it going to be kosher? Is it going to be rach? Is it going to be soft? Is it going to be sweet? Ki mishu yari shamayim b'shtokik ma'od lahavin amitas hadvarim. A person who is willing to put in the yegia and the ishtadlus, the chapis achareyim, as much as he can, oz kishizocha shadvarim misbarim etzlo masigam. When it finally clicks and he finally gets it, heim chavivim be'ein of ma'od. Then your zocha to Rav Aaron Cutler wasn't zocha to, because for Rav Aaron it was too easy. Avamisha einu mishtokik ma'od lasagaso, but a person who's not willing to work hard, v'advar ba'olah bekalus below yegiyah v'chipas, and he only wants those things in life that come easy, as nofa bahar bechashivas advar metzlo, then the things that he's going to attain in this world are not going to stay sweet. It's not miskaimin. Again, divrei Torah are miskaimin by a person who's meimis atzmo aleh, the person who's willing to fight for it, to kill himself over. One of my favorite varts, which I know I've told you in the past, is from Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, when he would walk into the yeshiva on Shavuos to give a beautiful shir in the Slobodka yeshiva in Bnei Brak, he'd give a long, beautiful shir, and people came and they'd listen for hours, and everyone would crowd around to try to hear every word that he said. And one year after he gave this shir, he said, I want to share an insight into the sweetness of Torah. And he quoted the following idea that he saw in a sefer. We'll skip to page 12, where he brings the idea. Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky said, everyone wants to experience the beauty of Torah. And everyone wants to experience the sweetness of Torah. And we're counting up the days towards Kabbalah Satorah. Says Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, what do you do when it's not so easy? V'im lif'amim yaksha halimbor alalome. If sometimes it's kosher, if advarim ne'alamim etzlo, and the matter at hand seems to hide itself from you, v'amisikus v'imenu v'alan, the sweetness is nowhere to be found. Hinei omer lechem masher isi pamba kadama shal sefer echad. Let me tell you what I saw once in the Hakdama to a sefer. He says it's not the pshat, but it's a good idea nonetheless. V'kach perusho. Here's what it explained. In Parshas Beshalach, what does it say? V'yavau marasa. The Jews came to a place called Mara. Says Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, Lif'amim koresh ha'alimud ba'al l'matzav shamarasa. Sometimes the Jews' learning is a little bit bitter. Sometimes it's the end of the Zman. And even though, yeah, we're counting the days towards Shavuos, but we're all a little burnt out, and everyone's ready for the summer, right? And, you know, just, we're ready to start fresh next year. It could be that the learning has become a little bit bitter at this point. A person experiences a bitterness in his learning. They're not able to drink the water. In Mayim al Torah, he says. The inherent sweetness of Torah is nowhere to be found. So what did Hashem show Moshe? HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe a stick. Says Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, b'derech drush, he saw on a sefer that Hashem Yisbarach gives a person an eitz. Hashem gives you an eitzah. What's the advice? When the water is bitter, what are you supposed to do? Pack up your sfarim and walk away from the Beis Medrash. What are you supposed to do? V'yorei Hashem eitz. What did Moshe do with the eitz, with the stick? What's the eitzah that's being given to us? V'yashleich al amayim, v'yim tiku amayim. Throw Moshe threw the stick into the water, and the water became sweet. V'yashleich al amayim, v'yim tiku amayim. Says Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky, shekasher yashlich atzmo legamri al amayim mimei haTorah. Throw yourself into the Torah. Keep drinking, like the Rebbe of Kamarna said. Keep drinking. Make a commitment. The hardest part, the part that's kosher, kolas cholos kashos, is just to make the commitment. Throw yourself in, and then you'll see v'yim tiku amayim, as you divrei haTorah hameshulam l'mayim metukim b'piv. Then you'll see how sweet immediately, how sweet the words of Torah become. And Rabbi Yecheskel Abramsky said, this is such a beautiful idea to think about. That when a person wants to come to Shavuos, right, and you say, I don't feel that I'm experiencing the sweetness of Torah yet. That's not my life. That's not my world. I'm not quite there yet. But to what? To throw myself into it. And to refine my midos. Because my midos, again, are also inherently sweet, but sometimes become bitter. And midos are the Hakdamah to Torah. And last but not least, to daven over it. To daven that Hashem should help you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help you, that it should become sweet. On the final page, in the Rav Chaim Kanievsky Agada, it says, "Mitchila of the Avodah Zarah Hayav Oseinu, va'achshav kervanu hamakum lavodaso." And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought us close. It says Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, the sages relate how Avram came to recognize Hashem's existence on his own, rejecting all the idolatry of his time and eventually teaching others about Hashem. We too accepted the Torah that was rejected by others. So the question is, so why does the Haggadah say va'achshav kervanu amakum lavodaso? Hashem has brought us close to his avodah. Hashem brought us close. Hashem, everyone rejected you, Hashem. We said Nasa v'nishma. We chose you. You didn't choose us. We chose you. We brought you close to us. You brought us close to you. Says Rav Steinman, yes. The Gemara teaches in Kedushin 30b that a person would be unable to fight the evil inclination without Hashem's help. A person's job is simply to begin the fight against evil and heresy in himself and the world around him, and do whatever is within his ability to serve Hashem. Ultimately, though, it is only with Hashem's help that we can succeed in any aspect of our service of Him. The Haggadah teaches this lesson here. Essentially, it was Hashem who brought us close to His service. For only with Hashem's help can we achieve results. All we can do is throw ourselves into the water and hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow us to drown. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to taste the sweetness of the waters of Torah. So, Mir Hashem. Halavai, during these days, as we're counting up, because again, we don't know exactly. We know when Shavuos is. But in our own personal lives, we don't know exactly when the Torah is going to click. We don't know exactly what's going to make it work. I'm not sure what the secret to success in Torah is. but to at least begin the process, to reverse the process of the mara. The mara starts off very sweet, right? The leaf that's sweet, that becomes bitter. The Yitzhara that's sweet and enticing, that becomes so bitter. The Malach HaMavis, which acts like our best friend and then comes to destroy us. On the night of the Seder, we're Metakim Inyan Amar. And therefore, afterwards, we come to Kabbalah Satorah. We're able to reverse that whole process. Something that's very hard and very difficult and very bitter sometimes at the beginning, but a Jew is willing to work hard, is Zocha to taste the sweetness of Torah. Okay, we should all be Zocha. Halavai. Shkoyach.